You're listening to the MoneyWeb SAFM Market Update Podcast.
A rather interesting white paper was released yesterday for the Department of Transport, Transnet, and the provincial governments relating to our logistics and freight corridors. We are referring to the Port of Gauteng white paper here, and we're going to be taking a look at what this is all about with the developer of the Port of Gauteng, Francois Norquier, joins me on the line now to take a look at this and other developments. Francois, thanks so much for taking the time. Lovely to have you on the show. Tell us about the Port of Gauteng. For those that haven't heard about what has been proposed here, what is this?
Good evening, Jimmy, and good evening to your listeners. It's an inland port, a dry port. It's situated between the N3 highway as you come into Gauteng, just before the urban edge, or just in the urban edge. The one boundary is the N3. The other boundary is the Durban-Gauteng railway line. The provincial road runs through the middle of it. The petrol pipe from Heidelberg to Alberton goes there, and the dark fiber backbone, It is 1,400 hectares of land that's been earmarked in terms of the Ekurhuleni Metropolitan Spatial Development Framework for Logistics and Light Industrial. So we want to build two terminals there, one for containers and one for car. And then there's land for all kinds of logistics, truck stops, massive warehouses, smaller warehouses, distribution centers. And we want to put one or two data centers there to take advantage of all the warehouse roofs that will be filled with solar. So there'll be massive excess of solar that can give green energy.
Francois, why do we need an inland port? South Africa has a couple of ports. We've got a port in Durban, we've got a port in Cape Town. What is the value of an inland port such as this?
It creates a place where the goods can be unpacked, assembled, and better organized to go into the rest of Africa. Because you've got a port in Durban, and then you've got 550 kilometers to the port of Gauteng, and then the road split. So it's an assembly point and a distribution point where things can get together, that it can go down the N3 in a more coordinated way and get to the port of Gauteng. That can come five different shipments, and then it can get you there. And one truck can go to Rustenburg, one truck can go to Middelburg, one truck can go to Pietersburg. So it's a point where it's a junction where the goods get sorted before it goes in all kinds of difference. It leads to better logistics. And you need a terminal somewhere in Gauteng to bring in all the imported cars. You need a terminal to bring the containers. They can't go to 10 different directions by rail.
Francois, let's take a look at how this project would then be rolled out. I mean, you've touched on the fact that it involves a couple of provincial governments, it involves a couple of different entities throughout this. Are we looking at something that forms part? I see in the white paper there are mentions of the National Development Plan. How would this project be executed? Would it be one of those build, operate, and transfer models? What have we got proposed here?
Okay, let's just distinguish between the Port of Gauteng and then the white paper. The Port of Gauteng is what I described to you, but we also issued a white paper how to improve the corridor, the freight corridor between Durban and Gauteng. Because the better that corridor works and the better the port in Durban works, the better the port in Gauteng will work. So the white paper deals with the corridor, which is KwaZulu-Natal, Free State, a little bit in Mpumalanga and Gauteng. That's why that is addressed to those entities. So the white paper is a document that we issued to show how that corridor logistics costs can be reduced on that corridor, how goods can move to rail, and that corridor is more open for cars, that the tourism industry in KwaZulu-Natal is not choked off by the N3 just being a truck highway. So you must please distinguish between the Port of Gauteng as a property development and then the white paper that the Port of Gauteng issued, how to deal with the freight corridor, which the NDP says it's the most important freight corridor in South Africa and must be by 2030 the example of all other freight corridors in South Africa. So we've shown how it can be an example by moving goods cheaper, faster, and more reliable.
So the Port of Gauteng will exist regardless of the outcome of this white paper. It is a development that is in effect already, and it is something that we are already looking to leverage off of. Is that correct, Francois?
That's correct, but it'll work much better if the corridor works better.
As do all things, I suppose. So, Francois, when we look at the logistics infrastructure, South Africa, you alluded to it from a freight rail perspective. We have got a freight rail infrastructure set up in South Africa, but it would benefit from greater efficiencies. How does the port of Gauteng then enhance the roads side of it? Because for a lot of the manufacturers, a lot of what has to move on rail in South Africa, when a Transnet goes through the challenges it has gone through over the last couple of years, it becomes very difficult to move everything, and there's a greater reliance placed on the road side of it. How does a port of Gauteng development solve for that?
We're supporting the PBS initiative, the performance-based system for trucks. It's been piloted in South Africa by Paul Nordigan, that used to be with the CSIR. And the government didn't do much on it for the last 5 years, so that's why we're pushing. And we believe it's just been accepted by the government that they can go further with this PBS study. These PBS study allow longer trucks, heavier trucks, and they design that they do less damage than lighter trucks. They drive safer. So it's a very long story, but if your readers can go and read up about PBS trucks and Paul Nordigan, in Australia there's now 28,000 of these trucks. And we are canvassing for that and wanting to promote that these PBS trucks are allowed from Port of Durban to the Port of Gauteng.
Francois, can the Port of Gauteng be used to perhaps improve our logistics infrastructure into the continent? You touched on this to say that there's a more than a 500 kilometer distance, I think you mentioned, between where things land in Durban and where we export or where we transport into the African continent. If we then have an inland port, is this a blueprint that can be used to sort of set up other inland ports throughout the African continent that we can then link all together? I'm thinking about things like the Africa Free Continental Trade Agreement, and these ports seem like they'd be useful towards things like that.
Yes, the idea and Rail Runner, one of our partners that was at the conference with the launch yesterday, they will run the trains. And the reason why they want ports everywhere, one at Komati, one at Messina, one in the Winelands in the Cape, then they will run trains from inland port to inland port. So it's definitely the case.
Francois, how expensive is it to set up one of these ports? As a developer, you would have gone through, I imagine, a lot of things around feasibility and land and everything in between. But this surely can't be a cheap exercise, even though it is a necessary one, it sounds.
No, it's not a cheap exercise, but at the moment it's just the land cost. I've bought quite a few large parcels of the 1,400 hectares, and it's expensive with rates and taxes and security. But luckily, this piece of land was a neglected part of the world that didn't have high value, so our base price wasn't expensive. And there is another 100 hectares, 100 properties that make up the rest of the 1,100 hectares that are for sale. They're also not at high prices. So it's a matter of buying it at the right price and then doing the land conversion. And then the big money comes when you build the building. But very few of these things will be built on spec. If there's a demand for a container terminal and there's an operator, or what might be the operator might buy the land then get the finance to build the terminal and then operate the terminal and the railway line. So the big money will still be spent. The 50 billion that's going to be spent there, the 99.9% of that is still to come.
Francois, would you say that every other inland port would probably be around the same in terms of costing, if we are to look at what it is that you've spoken about? Because some of the inputs that you've put into the port of Gauteng, we are really looking at things around cleaner energy, infrastructure that accommodates more than one use case. And so that seems like a logical kind of expansion plan. Is this model kind of perhaps what we should be looking at, even at our existing ports?
I can't talk about the existing ports. That's a different, you know, a seaport is a different thing. But it's exactly the same model at all inland ports, I would think, all over the world. And there's quite a few planned inland ports in South Africa. So and, I assume that they all follow the same principle. It's a land development, property development principle that you have to follow.
Some interesting solutions to South Africa's unique logistical challenges. An inland port, or the first of many inland ports that we could potentially be seeing, the port of Gauteng. We'll see how this development continues to unfold. Thank you so much, Francois, for giving us some insights around how this would work and around just the value it would create for the South African ecosystem. We'll leave the conversation on that note. Francois Nokia, developer at the port of Gauteng, taking us through the use case for an inland port.
You've been listening to another MoneyWeb SAFM Market Update podcast, uploaded weekdays at 7 p.m. For more MoneyWeb podcasts, go to moneyweb.co.za or the app and follow MoneyWeb News for daily updates.